Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I need some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is Dan Roach. Even though he thought he was being kind of cute, sounding like a serial killer whose this lack of baseball is having a terrible effect on. Jared Karabas is from Barstool Sports, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Karabas, hello, sir.
That was Dan Roach.
Oh, yeah. That was, maybe about 3 weeks ago. It was a Saturday that it snowed here, and he went on his back porch and just filmed this. And when I first saw the video, I didn't have my sound up. So it looked like, you know, as people do sometimes, they film their backyard because it's all snowy. Hey, look, it's snow in April. But then my finger accidentally touched the little speaker icon, and it just became something out of like a murder movie.
Take me into the ball game.
And just it added a whole new layer of insanity to it, to be quite honest, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if there were a serial killer that were stalking me and taking videos of me without me knowing, that would be what they would sound like after he sent them to me.
It sounds like you've spoken from experience.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, they'd be like, hey, Jared. I'm a big fan.
Sweet Caroline. Stab, like stab, baseball. Stab.
I like baseball too, Jared. Can you come out and play?
Okay, stop. Yeah. That's creeping me out too much. All right, so where are you, Jared? Are you here or are you in New York? Where are you?
No, I'm still in New York. I figured if I stay here, I've got more workspace and being the epicenter isn't exactly great, but in terms of like having everything that I need to do the job on a daily basis, I was like, I might as well just stay here.
How weird was New York, or is New York, like over the last like month? Like what is it like living there during all this?
It's very strange because, I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel maybe that told everyone like at 7 p.m., like, you stick your head out the window and they start like banging on pots and pans and cheering for, the first responders and the nurses and everyone. So like that's been going on for like a month and a half where 7 PM on the dot, you can hear, it sounds like a parade, every night at 7 PM. Cause I'm kind of like near a hospital. Mm-hmm. So when the nurses come out of the hospital, you can hear like basically the entire city like erupts into parade mode for like 5 minutes. It's also bizarre because you can basically walk around the streets of New York and not really have to look both ways. Like there's no cars out really. There's still foot traffic, but obviously not nearly as much. Everyone's wearing a mask. You're not allowed in anywhere, without one, which I feel like is probably the same case in Boston by now. But, you are definitely in the minority if you're out and about without a mask on.
Do you go when they're clanging everything? Do you go, I'm trying to sleep. How are you doing?
Yeah, I usually if it's 7 p.m., I would like the game's about to start, but there hasn't been any baseball whatsoever.
Okay, no. Are you into watching the – because, I mean, I know people who – are as big of a sports fan as they get, but they just refuse to watch reruns of old games, whether it be championship game, playoff games, games where milestones were. They're just like, I can't do it. I'm not going to watch it. Where's your stance on that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really done that with the Red Sox, but, like, I've done that with, like, all-time classics. Like, I've rewatched, like, a bunch of games that, you know, they get the juices flowing if they're, like, playoff games. Like, I've watched, like, a bunch of, like, the Cubs World Series stuff. I watched, like, the Blue Jays, Rangers, like, Division Series games where, you know, like, Bautista hits the homer. Like, I've went back and rewatched those games. But, like, at this point in quarantine, I haven't done much of that because I spent the offseason doing that. So by the time, like, you know, you get to quarantine, it's basically extended offseason. And all my tricks to trick my brain that baseball isn't gone, I've done all that. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I haven't – in the beginning of quarantine, I went through – all the zombie movies, like I went through that phase. You know, you watch Contagion, you watch I Am Legend, you watch Resident Evil, all those movies. And then that gets old. And yeah, I mean, I'm now onto the reality TV show aspect of quarantine where it's like I will watch anything.
Okay, well, that one on Netflix, like about beautiful people. I'm being told this is like some like exceptional show.
Love is Blind? Is that the one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
There's Love is Blind is one of them. And then the other one, I forget. I think it's like Too Hot to Handle.
Too Hot to Handle. I'm hearing Too Hot to Handle is like incredible.
That's the one that I'm watching. So I probably haven't watched like a reality TV show since like Survivor. Like I'm just not a reality TV show guy. But I heard about this show. Where it's like they have a bunch of beautiful people all on an island. They can't touch each other. There's no nothing. They can't even kiss. I think they get fined $3,000 if they kiss. You can't do anything to yourself. So it is it's quite the process. And you know, you just watch these people like they become couples, but they can't do anything. They can snuggle. They can shower together, but they can't do anything else. So it starts with like $100,000 like prize pot, and for any time that there's an infraction, money gets taken out, which I think is stupid. Anyway, if there's ten, the best case scenario, you're walking out of there with $10,000, like that's stupid.
For true. How long is it? A month?
Yeah, they're over there for a month. I think it's like 8 episodes.
Yeah, so people just—I mean, they tease themselves. They put themselves in situations where one would end up blue, but then they cannot do anything about it because I got to start watching that immediately because my daughter and I have gone through the Jersey Shore twice already, so I got to start getting into something else. All right, yeah. So Major League Baseball. First of all, what do you think the chances are that they play this year?
I've gone back and forth on this, but I think I'm now swaying towards the side of, I think it's going to be like 65% chance that they start it. I don't know if they finish it. I think that there is going to be a chance that like whatever, you know, they have these players come back and then really all it takes is one guy to contract the virus. And then next thing you know, it's like, you've got to quarantine an entire team, which means that you can't carry the schedule on without, you know, just a team missing. So I don't know if they'll finish, but I think that there's probably like a 65% chance that they'll start it.
Okay. So you've obviously read this whole Bob Nightingale report that came out yesterday about how, you know, they are aiming to get this thing started no later than July 2nd, and it would be in home baseball stadiums. But they would divide it into three divisions, the East, the West, and the Central. And the East being the one with the Sox would be in. It would be with the Yankees, Orioles, Miami Marlins, basically most East Coast teams outside of the Braves. Why are they doing that? Like, why the regional breakup? Because if you're traveling, you're kind of traveling. I mean, you know, I don't know. Do you have any idea? I haven't heard the justification for why they did that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that really is the justification. But, you know, you put it into words and it's like, well, that doesn't make a ton of sense. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're going to get on a plane, you're going to get on a plane.
That's why I
think baseball, like, the thing that I kind of wrote about it was that it's a weird time in the world. And there is, you know, there's no sport that has weirder moments than baseball more regularly. You know what I mean? Like, there's like baseball is one of those sports where just on a random night, it's like, hey, you know what? The game started at 7. We might be playing until 3 a.m. tonight. Like, that could be a thing that happens where there's a scenario, or like a there could be a rain delay. We might come back, and there might just be like 700 people here, and they're all kind of congregated behind home plate, and everything else is empty throughout the entire stadium. Like, there's just weird things that happen in baseball. So that's why I was completely on board with having, you know, one league in Arizona, one league in Florida, and, you know, have these almost Olympic Village type situations where you have the players there. I don't know. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be strange either way. You know, if you have these new division alignments, you know, you have the Red Sox are going to be playing against teams that they're going to have the defending World Series champions from the National League in their division. Now they're going to have the Mets and the Yankees. The crosstown rivalry is going to be a huge thing. You're also going to see the Astros and the Dodgers in the same division as each other. After, you know, you had the Dodgers go ham against the Astros. I mean, a lot of people did, but the Dodgers really sounded off as they should have against the Astros in spring training. Now they're going to be playing against each other for an entire season. So I welcome the weirdness of it. But to your point about the travel, I would have preferred going Arizona and Florida.
Really? So, but the players, you've talked to a few of them, they obviously don't want that, right? They don't want to be away from their families and away from their home during all this, right?
The Florida players were against it, but the Arizona players were like, let's go. I mean, a lot of those guys are out there anyway. If you've never done spring training before, going from camp to camp in Florida is a nightmare. But in Arizona, everything is, I mean, at most you're doing it like a half an hour trip. So imagine being able to play in a league where you're traveling a half an hour and playing every single team in the entire league.
It's high school. It's like a high school team.
Most. Yeah. 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 And then in Florida, if you were to go there, I mean, there would be, if the whole point is to send everyone to Florida so that you don't have to travel on planes, well, guess what? Now you're taking buses where some nights you're looking at 2.5, 3, sometimes 4 hour bus rides. Like, that would be awful for, you know, guys that were set to play in Florida for an entire season. You're basically back in the minor leagues. So I could see it from that standpoint.
All right. Well, okay, go ahead, Rich.
I was just saying, well, I mean, this is, but you're right. It's almost like as the words come out of your mouth, you can shoot a ton of holes in all of these, and all it does take is that one person to get sick,
and
it stops the season. It's like all of these plans are just built on, and they have to do it. I understand why they're doing it, but everything just kind of seems like paper thin. You know, like everything's a house of cards, and they're hoping that just one of them doesn't fall, and the entire season is doomed. But I guess, as you said, these are the strange times we're living in. Anything's better than nothing.
Yeah, and it's all about the bottom line at this point. I mean, the owners are way too motivated to get a season going to be able to recoup any of the losses that they've, you know, would be projecting if there's no baseball whatsoever. And then there's motivation for the players too, because they're not getting paid. I mean, like, there's all different angles from the player perspective where, you know, you've got these guys making monster salaries that they want to collect that. And you've got, you know, guys that are coming up on arbitration that maybe they're in their late 20s and they don't want to take a case from 2 years ago into their first year of arbitration where they have a chance to make some real money for the first time. And you've got some guys that are, you know, in their early 30s that they signed these big contracts that kind of were backloaded a little bit. And now they'd be making real money for the first time this year. And then now they're not getting it. So the players want to get back on the field to make their money. And, you know, the owners, obviously, they want to have baseball for their own financial reasons. And then, you know, I think of the example like a Mike Yastrzemski, where you have a player that they been in the minors forever, and this might be their first chance to kind of come make a major league debut and make an impact. And what if they don't get the call next year if there's no baseball this year? So there's definitely a universal motivation to get back out there. But I've kind of looked at it as, you know, when it's safe, whatever the rules are, I'm all for it. I'm assuming there's going to be a universal DH now, because you can't just have like a situation where American League teams have gone out and signed guys that can hit but can't play defense, and now you're going to have to ask them to play defense just because of the coronavirus. So the universal DH, you know, you've got National League teams that they've got bench players that can fill that void. So it'll be very interesting. It's just, you know, I kind of go back to that point. If it only takes one to make the whole house of cards fall, as you said.
All right, so 60% chance, you're thinking.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
All right, so a little bit of optimism on your part. So
yeah.
There you go. All right, Jared Karabas from Barstool Sports, thank you so much for the time, sir, and tell him to stop all the clanging at 7 o'clock at night already, okay?
Yeah, I will do that. Also, by the way, you know, I'm assuming that if they go with, like, the whole no fans thing, that the press pass that you guys campaigned for me to get, that I did eventually get, I would imagine that would be some sort of loophole. For just one loud guy at every Red Sox game, but he has a press pass, so it is what it is.
It is. That's right. Let the press in, right?
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no cheering in the press box, but they can't have everyone in the press box because then there's no social distancing. So that would mean that the writers in the press box would have to come down to perhaps the grandstand, and I don't think there are any rules about cheering in the grandstand. So I don't know.
There you go.
Present a great case. Yep,
absolutely do. All right, Jared Karabas, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. And Rich, what's going on?
So one of the probably the most shocking moment of the draft wouldn't, of course, be just how awesome Roger Goodell was talking to the fans who were booing him on his TV screen. I mean, it was like this natural rapport he had with the TV screen. It was how could you possibly be so wooden in a moment where and not show any kind of what's the word? Likeability, even in that moment.
Humanist?
Yeah. Or just
behaving like a human would? Yes.
yes, like non-robotic. I'm not quite sure he could do that, but other than that, of course, just how shockingly bad he was at doing that. I think everyone agrees that when the Packers ended up taking Jalen Love, that was one of the great, or Jordan Love rather, that was one of the greatest moments of the draft, because you knew that there might be something there involving Aaron Rodgers. Now we are learning that there indeed is. Bob McGinn, he's a guy who reported on the Packers for like 40 years or so. He suggests that their trade up for Jordan Love was a power move by the coach Matt LaFleur, who, quote, simply had enough of Rodgers' act, and that the Love pick would, quote, gain leverage with their imperial quarterback. This is awesome. So this guy's been covering this team forever. He knows all the ins and outs, all of the players and all of this. And he wrote this for The Athletic. I hate Aaron Rodgers. I really do.
Yeah, he's a prick, but you made the NFC Championship game last year. I don't think I want to start. I don't think that, you know, his attitude, and just because I don't personally like him, is going to make me. You're treading. What I'm saying is, you're treading on very dangerous ground. No,
I agree, Fred. I agree with you, and I think that, you know, you. Unfortunately, he's super talented. Sometimes you got to deal with pricks. But this article's great. He said the selection of a quarterback in round one was more than warranted. Aaron Rodgers, 36, is coming off two pedestrian seasons, and if he doesn't step up his game in the next season or two, the Packers might want to get out from under his onerous contract and begin life with someone else. Is Jordan Love that someone? That's what matters, and believe me when I say the jury's out amongst personnel across the NFL. public niceties aside, my sense is LaFleur, fresh from a terrific 13-3 baptismal season, simply had enough of Rodgers' act and wanted to change the narrative. With a first-round talent on the roster, the Packers would gain leverage with their imperial quarterback and his passive-aggressive style. If the Packers do indeed want to become a running team next season, which, by the way, they totally stocked up to do that, they surely wouldn't want Rodgers rocking the boat and becoming even more difficult to coach. They said it'll work for the general manager and the coach only if Love can play. If he can't, at best, the Packers might have a 50-50 shot of success with their bold stroke, and the GM and LaFleur ultimately might be gone. It's just the way it works with franchise-turning decisions and first-round quarterbacks. I mean, how awesome is that? That despite, you're right, 13-3, and you know his numbers weren't fantastic, but he's Aaron Rodgers. That there, this seems to be an intentional bold move to try to almost pull a Jimmy Garoppolo on Tom Brady, like put a fire under his ass.
His numbers were down because they kept handing the football to Aaron Jones, and then in the second round, they took the BC kid, AJ Dillon, who's 6 feet tall, 250 pounds, doesn't catch passes out of the backfield at all. And
no,
Fred, you'll appreciate this, Fred. He had almost 900 touches in 3 years at BC.
That's
and most of them
Bell,
were
baby.
Runs. Yes, that's exactly what he was. I think he caught a career-high 13 passes last year. They want to run the football a lot.
Yeah, and so, and by the way, they didn't draft a receiver, if I'm not mistaken. So, they're sending a message to Rodgers in that we don't care what you want. This is the way that I want to run the offense. There's no question about that. They are, they took a kid that's north-south. They took a kid who's just a battering ram.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Yes.
Yeah, he's a battering ram. And then, so, he's not a finesse, but he's not Tyreek Hill. So, he's a guy. I mean, I've seen him play a bunch of times. This is they want to hammer the ball. They want to be ball control. They want to, be a defense first team. And I don't know why.
But just get ready. get ready, Fred, because remember the beginning of last season when LaFleur first showed up? They hadn't even played their first game yet, and Aaron Rodgers was already calling out his coach. And I was like, this is going to end in misery. Remember, we were thinking LaFleur's not even going to last the season. If Aaron Rodgers hates you, you're out. And then things turned around. The team played really well, 13-3. I mean, they look good, and as you said, they went deep into the playoffs. And I thought this was all done and over with, but I guess it isn't. And I don't even know if it was a bad move to take him, but it sure as hell sent a message. And if this is like getting leaked out to whoever this writer for The Athletic is that because they're sick of his passive aggressive attitude and his what do they call it, imperial way that he acted around the team?
Yes.
Then he is going to be such a baby at the beginning of the season once it starts. And I'm surprised Aaron Rodgers probably hasn't said anything yet. But, I mean, the passive-aggressivism is going to be just off the charts at the beginning of the season.
I mean, sometimes it's not even passive-aggressive. I mean, sometimes he's just a total prick.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I'm trying to remember what his comment was before the season started. That it was like the way he ran practice was almost like he had to take the reins. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I had to be the one to run practice. It was something along those lines. And then winning cures all, obviously. But in this case, you just rip that scab right back open and get ready, because there's not many bigger babies in the NFL than Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to hear about it. He will not let this one sit.
No. He seems to, in his life, he just seems to be just miserable. He just seems to be a miserable person. He doesn't seem to, even in those stupid commercials, he seems to be a miserable prick.
Yeah, I'm on Team State Farm guy. Like, he's agent.
I'm on Team his agent.
Agent.
I don't know why when they looked at Jordan and they said he has no personality, so we're going to make the Spike Lee character. Or they looked at Penny Hardaway and they said he has no personality, so we're going to make a little Penny. It's like with Aaron Rodgers, they're like, all right, and they probably met with him for a long time. They're like, all right, he's a prick. So what we're going to do is there's no way we can make him look like he's not a prick. So we're just going to make a commercial surrounded by the idea that he's an ass. And we're going to try to make the make him look sympathetic in that there is this agent who is a real clown. But then at the end, he's such a prick and has such a resting prick face that that you cannot help but feel sorry for his agent, who, by the way, is control of his tens of millions of dollars that he's making. And the State Farm guy is just an insurance dude. The thing makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's not logical. Mm-mm. If someone's handling my career, you know what? The agent probably got you the State Farm gig.
Great point, Fred. He's ungrateful.
That's
he's
like totally that's like the situation with Parents Don't Understand, where his mom won't buy him any good clothes, but then it turns around in the next part of the song, he's got a Porsche.
Yeah.
A brand new Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Would they mind? Well, of course not.
Yeah. I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips.
Yeah. But they got a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
How old was the girl, 12-year-old runaway?
Was it?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
I was arrested.
The car was impounded. There was no way to avoid being
grounded. But the thing is, he was under 18 at the time, but 12 is far too young, obviously. Yeah. But the, that's a contradiction. The Fresh Prince, not a satisfying narrative there when it comes to Parents Don't Understand.
Too many questions to be answered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what are you, rich or poor?
Yeah, make
and then
it
if your parents are Jeez. If your parents are making you buy Zips and then they're turning around and buying brand new Porsches, I mean, there's something going on there.
At least they corrected their fuzzy narrative with Nightmare on My Street. At least you knew that Freddy Krueger was actually indeed going after them. But was he real? Was he not? I don't know. It was a nightmare on his street.
Is there one song by then that's good besides Summertime?
Summertime. Well, that's Will Smith. Yeah, Summertime's
no.
Very
Summertime
good.
is Jazzy Jeff's the DJ.
Yeah, that I agree. Yeah, I think he.
Oh,
think
is Chris he right. really?
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, he's. Yeah,
that's
he's
before
in the
Will Smith.
Wow. Yeah. Getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, oh, Will Miami. Smith, he's Miami. That's Will Smith. And get jiggy with it is Miami is Will Smith also.
Is that where he goes? A Cuban cigar. Don't light it. It's for a Cuban cigar. It's for the look. I don't light it. It's like, wow, that's really cool.
Is that getting jiggy with it or is that Miami?
No, that's
might
jiggy
be Miami.
With it.
The same song. So, I mean, really, what's the difference? But I like that. Like, you bought a Cuban cigar and you don't even light it. It's for the look. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, you look really cool. You look like my dad playing golf. Like, wow, you got a cigar there.
With this handsome kid, sick a cigar right from Cuba, Cuba. I just bite it. It's for the look. I don't light it.
Yeah. I had that ready to go, Fred.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, what are you, like, fake inhaling? What are you, 12, having your first cigarette? It's for the look. I don't light it.
Yeah, but Summertime is like, you know, it's kind of like the sun shining on a dog's ass every once in a while. Summertime is a legitimate, really good song.
Summertime is a very good song.
Yeah.
Yes, and Summertime is a very good song. Maybe you credit DJ Jazzy Jeff with that because it's really just all about the sample.
Jazzy Jeff been very active at the quarantine DJ scene. He's been doing stuff from his home. I know that because there's a guy who was a friend of mine in high school who's obsessed with DJ Jazzy Jeff for some reason.
Who is
Why?
It?
Fred makes a good point. Why wouldn't you be?
Every
Friday he's doing like a DJ set from his living room and he's always like, you know, putting it on his Facebook. And
all Uncle right. Phil just throwing him out by the collar.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
Yeah, well, listen, that the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is unwatchable. Unwatchable.
That's why I never watched it. I never watched that show. Yeah, I bet Wallach was all over the Fresh Prince. That's right in your wheelhouse.
No, it was more Martin than the Fresh Prince.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Martin.
Martin was okay back in the day.
Yeah, Martin was good. Yes.
My girlfriend broke up with me in college, and I'd been with her for like a year and a half, and I would watch Martin, and I would just be like, why can't I be like Martin and Gina? I would sit in my dorm room.
Somebody makes an argument for Boom Boom, Shake the Room.
Oh, that is the worst song ever. The worst song ever.
What is on the Will Smith's greatest hits? Because you know he's got. What about the Wild Wild West theme song? Remember that one?
Wild West.
Here come the men in black.
That's right.
Galaxy Defenders.
That's right.
He did the theme to all of his movies.
Yeah.
You see, okay, I've got like Switch. Or did he do a song on the Hitch soundtrack by any chance?
Yeah, that, he did the lead song on the Hitch soundtrack.
He does
right.
every soundtrack of every garbage movie. He's the guy who did the soundtrack for it.
Hitch was not a good movie.
Who went and saw Hitch?
I saw it, but I was reviewing movies. But
yeah, I mean,
a ton of people did. I think it did well.
Everyone's an idiot. I like Kevin James. I want to see him get hitched.
Parents just don't understand. They got Fresh Prince theme, brand new. Okay, see, Girls Ain't Nothing But Trouble. Wasn't that him?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, yeah.
Fresh just Prince, cruising. By the way, there's a section that doesn't rhyme.
Of which song?
The Fresh Prince theme. Theme. When he goes, I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plates were fresh, and it had dice in the window. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare.
Like,
now this is a story.
All right, I don't know. You're giving me two cents.
Skip W.
There was a phase where everything was like a very special episode.
Yeah.
Like, did you see the one where like the breakdance kid got like the gun?
Breakdance kid was a character on that show?
No, Alfonso Ribeiro was the breakdance kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
All right. We have gone down a rabbit hole. Okay. We will be back. Here are the headlines. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. Jerry Rabbit.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Yeah.
The thing is, I relate to this song so much. This was like my summers growing up. The old folks dancing at my family reunion. It's exactly like that.
Yep.
It's, I mean, some songs you just relate to. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, no one is handling this lockdown better than the state of Florida. And let's go to a real situation involving a 911 call. It's not Brookline 911, it's Florida 911.
Charlotte County Sheriff's Office tells me Michael Gables really misused 911. He was nowhere near an emergency situation.
Liquor and ice cream. That's what Michael James Gables asked deputies for when they came to his Punta Gorda apartment on two different occasions after he called 911.
He was in good health.
CCSO tells me the first time he asked deputies to go buy him some liquor.
When they responded, and they understood that there was no emergency there at that residence, they did educate him and let him know that this is not an emergency. We do have a non-emergency line.
But the very next day, he called again.
And that was when he asked the deputies to get ice cream out of his freezer because he could not get out of his recliner.
That time, he was arrested for misuse of 911.
It's Mark Jamelli, Florida style.
Nicholas, I can't get out of the recliner. I've had one too many Manhattans. Oh, Nicholas, it's like when you were in bed covered in your own crap.
That, I believe that's a drink. You finish your drink when we bring
finish
up that story.
Finish your drink. Nick. He's drinking so early in the day.
Yeah, but apparently the deputy said that needing a liquor delivery wasn't an emergency, so he called again. He was charged with misuse of 911. The next day, he made another 911 call. When they showed up, they asked him to take the ice cream out of his freezer, and there, he has no medical problems or anything. Nah. He just didn't want to get out of his recliner. So could you please get this thing of ice cream out of here for me?
I have a feeling not all is well with him mentally. That's gentlemen. My guess. I don't think that most people that have it together mentally are, think that is the what the police are there for, the function of the police. But nonetheless, I mean,
that's not a bad idea. Look at just where am I? Just look for the blue light.
Well, John, there was a mystery yesterday that I know you were trying to solve, as were many people much like you, and that was, why is Vin Diesel so upset right now?
Yeah,
and why is he using the Fast and the Furious to apparently piss off a lot of fans? So Vin Diesel yesterday, and by the way, this is the whole story and how this whole everything went over the last 24 hours, believe it or not, is more interesting than you think. So Vin Diesel ended up posting this picture of the new Fast and the Furious movie poster, which is a movie that was supposed to come out, I think, 2 weeks from now. If there was no coronavirus, supposed to be out the second week of May, but now it's been moved all the way to next year. But instead, he had an Instagram post that was deleted, and it said, "Happy Creative Sunday, everyone. Sorry I haven't posted much lately. I've been trying to mitigate a war between Universal Studios and the PGA, Prejudice Guild of America." So the PGA...
Oh, they can't be a P... No, no, no. Is that real, Prejudice Guild of America? Because the WWE had to change their name from WWF because the World Wildlife Foundation.
That's right.
I'm not kidding. If there's a professional
It's the Producers Guild of America, but he's trying to make a point there. It's the Producers Guild of America.
Oh, well, he's pulled a fast one on me.
Get Fred, come on.
Now you're not there. I mean, yeah, he got past me. I'll give you that one, Vin.
So he's mad at Universal and the producers and all that, trying to mitigate this whole thing, and he got all bit and he deleted it. He ended up deleting the post. I was like, what's going on? Why is Vin Diesel so pissed? Well, now we may know why, and the reason is pretty interesting. So you know how this movie Trolls World Tour was supposed to come out of the theater, and it ended up going straight to download on demand and all these different services instead of coming out because no one could go to the theaters because of the coronavirus? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it made $1 zillion. Apparently, in its first 5 days, it made more than in the 5 or 6 weeks that the first Trolls movie was in the theater. I believe it had over $100 million worth of sales just on demand. I think it was like $20 a pop. Everybody's home. And how often have we been saying, well, yeah, if you got kids, they got to watch something. But even I've always been a fan of, if you were to release a film, I think that if these studios want to make more money, you would for $50 make it so you could watch it at home as well. Because for $50, like if a brand new movie you really wanted to see, like let's say you're somebody who has to get a babysitter, like you got young kids or something like that, it's already going to cost you more than that just to have them stay at your place so you can go to the movies. And then tickets are like $20 each. There's $40. So if you had, for some people, you could buy it on demand as well as it being in the theaters, I always thought that would be a big money game. And I think Mark Cuban's been pushing for that for a while. Well, I guess that because this Trolls movie made so much cash, Universal Studios made some statement yesterday saying that they might explore doing these split releases where it's not only in the theater but also at home. And to that, AMC, which is like the biggest theater chain in the country, maybe even like in North America, they said that they will no longer run Universal Picture movies at its cinemas. That's a lot of big-ass movies. Second to Disney, that's probably the biggest movie studio out there.
Yeah,
and of course,
this is a game of chicken. This is a game of chicken.
There's no question, but they made a statement saying, we will, effective immediately, AMC will no longer play any Universal movies in our theaters in the United States, Europe, or the Middle East. Jesus. They said this policy affects any and all Universal movies per se, goes into effect today as our theaters reopen, and is not some hollow or ill-considered threat. They are pissed. So that goes back to Vin Diesel, who obviously found out about this, and he's like, well, this movie that's my lifeblood and my blood, sweat, and tears, world's not going to be able to see in IMAX glory, apparently, at any of these theaters. And that is a big, big deal. And as you said, more than anything, that's probably a game of chicken. But I wonder if there's some sort of compromise they could meet. I mean, if I'm a theater chain, I'm probably pretty pissed too. But if you
what's the compromise? You either play it there or you don't. What's the compromise?
Maybe that the price of the movie is high that it doesn't price people out from going to the theaters. I don't know. I thought that $50 seemed to be a fair price for a first-run movie because there's probably still people who want – like me personally, if like Star Wars came out, I'm not going to watch that at home. I want to go to the theater because it's a big movie and the sound is great and all that. But if it's some – I don't know. If it's Uncut Gems – I'd watch that at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't really need to go to the theater to see that one. And that's not really where they're making a ton of money by movies like Uncut Gems. They're making it from Captain Marvel. They're making it for, you know, the Avengers, Star Wars, films like that. Fast and the Furious. People want to see those things at the theater. So, I mean,
how pissed were some people when they found out that Trolls was animated?
Well, I mean, the members of Rush, the living members of Rush, they came out with a statement. We have also boycotted Universal for lying to us. We thought it was going to be about the gnarly beasts that live under the bridge. Beware the Billy Goat Scruff. Right.
All the Lord of the Rings fans, very angry.
Trolls. This is just some hackneyed toy movie.
By the way, there is a movie that I rented a while back. Of course I did. Just Google the trailer for it. It's called Troll Hunters, and it's fantastic. It's great. It's like one of these movies about these people. It's kind of Blair Witch style, and it's about these people who go to, like, Iceland, where apparently there's, like, trolls, and they're looking for it. And, dude, it's great. It's like, I mean, like, these gigantic trolls attack them in the middle of the night, and they have to run, and there's all sorts of mystical trolls. But it's, dude, it's fantastic. Troll Hunters. If, I mean, that's when you've reached the end of your Apple TV scrolling for something to watch. That's a good one. I've done that a few times lately. I watched this Nicolas Cage movie the other day called Time Out of Space about a meteor that, like, turns everyone crazy. Oh, it's great. Nicolas Cage is having a renaissance of weirdness. And yeah, to say that about Nicolas Cage,
that make like 5 cents. Like,
oh yeah, they make nothing, but they're great. Like, I'm not kidding you. He's picking projects that are perfect for him, and sooner or later, some big director like Quentin Tarantino or Scorsese is going to write a role that's perfect for Nicolas Cage. He's going to win all of the Oscars, and people are going to realize, oh yeah, this guy's always been fantastic at being bat crap crazy. So if you want to see Mandy, watch him get into a chainsaw fight with a bunch of meth heads. If you want to see him lose his mind because a meteor hit his house and he almost, like, tries to tear off his skin, go see Color Out of Space. But there's plenty of crazy out there with Nicolas Cage in it. He's just waiting for the right role to break him through once again. Ugh. Or just watch The Rock or Con Air and see him in all of his Michael Bay glory when he was, of course, king of the world.
I think I've only seen him in Peggy Sue Got Married, and which used to be on cable every second, and in Leaving Las Vegas. I'm not positive I've seen him in another film.
Oh, dude, he's been in so many great films.
I've seen
Raising Arizona. He's
even in Valley Girl, right?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen Valley Girl. Yes, yeah. I've seen Valley Girl on several occasions.
Have you seen Wild at Heart?
I have not.
Oh, that Wild at Heart is a top 10 movie for me. That's my favorite David Lynch movie, and I love David Lynch. It's also one of the more, like, easier to, like, palatable as far as there's an actual storyline. It's weird, but Nicolas Cage is so good in that. He's like this guy who talks like Elvis and wears, like, this leather jacket, and anytime anyone, like, makes fun of his jacket, he'll, like, essentially murder them. You gotta watch it, dude. It is
all right.
It's David Lynch's best, yes.
Rich, someone just tweeted me about a movie called Wally's Wonderland that Nicolas Cage is in, and I just looked it up. A quiet drifter is tricked into a janitorial job at the now-condemned Wally's Wonderland. The mundane tasks suddenly become an all-out fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics.
Okay, so that's not out yet, but that's about basically if you were at Disney World and all the animatronics came to life to attack you.
But Nicolas Cage is the janitor. So.
Amazing. Amazing. Like, dude, it's perfect. I'm telling you, he's picking the best Nicolas Cage roles. His agent is somebody who knows Nicolas Cage better than probably his own, like, girlfriend, wife, mother does. Like, dude, this has got you. There's nobody else who could do this role, Nicolas Cage. You are going to battle demonic animatronic robots at an amusement park. And he's like, cool, man.
There you go.
What do I sign?
He plays a janitor with a heart of gold. By the way, Mark Norman, who's a good comedian, had a joke, and he's like, the best thing about the coronavirus is that it's the first time guys that work at grocery stores can get laid. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I told that like a champ. All right. Listen.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelpLineMA.org.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.fast40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.